Well, take your Bible and open up to the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 30. How many of you are glad you're here today? Amen. I know that I am. Mark chapter 30. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you got 30, I want to see your Bible. If you got Mark 30, there ain't no Mark 30. But Mark chapter 4. You got that. Praise God. Amen. You know what? We ought to also have some fun today. Amen? Yeah, how about that? We just enjoy the day. Amen. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Hallelujah. And as I do this message this morning, oftentimes Father's Day, Mother's Day, you know, set holidays can be a challenge for me because I put these expectations on myself, not that other people do, but I stick them there. And then they get in the road and I have trouble hearing what the Father has for us, you know. But as I was getting ready, we're just going to follow along in a series that we've been doing here, My Life as a Tree. My Life as a Tree. And we're supposed to produce fruit as believers, as Christians. There's supposed to be fruit that we produce in our lives. And we're all called to produce fruit. We're all called to bear fruit. And as I look at this message today, I know it's coming. I just want everybody in here to think about the parts that apply to dads, to us dads. Because you know what? This is kind of a theme this morning, and I didn't realize it till I got here. But the world would love to suppress. One of the things the world would love to suppress is the importance of men and their family. The importance of the role and the position that a man has in his family. Would love to suppress it. You know, and not have us men walk in that role that God has for us. My wife got me this morning. She wrote me a letter. I thought about bringing it, and I thought about reading it, but I can tell even by just bringing it up, I would have never been able to read it. Somebody would have had to finish it for me. And in there, one of the things she said, she just said, "Thank you for guarding our family." And we've been married for 36 years. And that's been strong in my heart, to guard my family. To guard them. To be a protector. To be there. And a lot of that guarding takes place on my knees. That's where a lot of it takes place. And then it takes place in conversation with them. It takes place more so when they were younger, saying, "No, I don't think so. That's not such a good idea." As they get older, I'm trusting they discern and see that for themselves. And I think I can say, yeah, they do a good job. You know, our youngest will be 30 here in just a little bit. So it's hard to believe with me looking like I do that I could have a 30-year-old and a 41-year-old, 43-year-old. Holy cow. See, isn't that just hard to believe? I have a 43-year-old daughter and I'm 51. No, but that's part of my job as a dad, is to guard and to protect. And sometimes that means I have to speak up when I don't want to speak up. Amen? I mean, sometimes we have to speak up in situations and settings as believers when we don't want to. And we're called to produce fruit, and we've been talking about that, but I want to read a few verses of Scripture, Mark chapter 4. We're just going to start at verse 30 real fast here. And he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? For it's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth, but when it is sown it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." For me, this is just a beautiful picture of a Christian life. And for me, it's also a beautiful picture of our church. This is what God gave me years ago. You know, if you wanted to know what was the verse of Scripture for the church, this is it. Verse 32. Our church started really little, but it is growing up and it is shooting out large branches. And there are more and more people that come into this fellowship and they find rest. They find provision. They find food. They find a joy. They find a peace. They find comfort. Amen. Now just jump over to verse 20 of the same chapter. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. You know, there's four types of soil in here the way I look at it. And you know what type of soil we're called to be? This last one. That's what God's got in mind for us, is to be this last type of soil. Now keep a marker here and flip over with me, if you would, please, real quick to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15. I'll wait for you to get flipped through those pages. John 15. I think it's good to look in our Bibles. Come on, I like that now. Talk to me. Praise God. Happy day. Happy day. John chapter 15. We're all called to bear fruit. We're all called to produce. We're all called to be good soil. Now, here's the thing. You will probably go through the other three types of soil on your way to being good soil. That's one of the things to understand. I remember down in Rushville, I asked one time the congregation, I said, what type of soil are you? And this lady, Debbie Butler, she said, well, I'm soil number two. And I knew what she was saying. Soil number two, tribulations, persecutions, arise for the word's sake. But I knew what Debbie was saying. She was saying at that point in time, there was some seed that she had planted. And right now, tribulations or persecutions were coming against her to kill that plant. She knew where she was in that process. And that'll happen to us. Anybody ever had a promise try to be stolen from you? Sure you have. You've had it happen to you. You know, you know, tribulations, persecution, they arise for the word's sake, to come after the word. It might happen in the realm of, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. John 15, 7 and 8, we're called to bear fruit. Jesus said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you do what? Bear much fruit. Everybody say that with me. Bear much fruit. Are we supposed to bear just a little bit of fruit? No, we're supposed to bear much fruit. And that fruit is the fruit of the kingdom of heaven. That's what that fruit is. It's fruit from the kingdom of heaven. And that fruit comes from planting the word of God in our hearts. Amen. We're supposed to bear much fruit. And I like this. How many of us in here would like to please God? Amen. I know I would. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father what? How many of you want to glorify your Father? How many of you want God to be glorified because of your life? So what do? Then we abide in him. His word abides in us. We have fellowship back and forth one another. And then we know how to pray. And we know that our Heavenly Father hears us. And we know when he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Amen? Because we're praying out his will. And we produce fruit. We produce fruit. Our prayers get answered. Amen? And God gets glorified. How many of you have given a testimony about a prayer being answered, and then what happened is somebody went, praise God, glory, hallelujah, amen. God's getting glorified. God's getting praised. Don't you love to share a testimony? Don't you love to share a story with somebody about the goodness of God that happened in your life, and they just can't argue with it? You know, people can argue with a lot of stuff, but it's tough. I got to yesterday. I was talking to a gentleman. It's mind-blowing. He knows your brother Stan. They've been good friends for years. And anyway, it's just kind of neat, the connection. I've never met him before. He lives in Iowa, Rapid City, and Texas. He's got property in three places, but we're having a conversation there. And I just got to share with him before we were married, how God spoke five words to my heart and totally set me free, totally delivered me from drugs and alcohol. Five words set me free 36 years ago, 37 years ago now maybe. Just set me free just like that. And I was bad. You know what? He went, wow. Five words? That's awesome. Praise God. Yeah, God gets glorified when our prayers get answered. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I like bringing glory to God. There's something else I like, though. Something else I like. I like God's blessings, God's will, and God's love in your life. In your life. That's something that drives me. That's something that motivates me. It's for the goodness of God to be in your life. To the abundance and the blessing of God to be in your life. Because I'm pretty convinced of this here with the folks in our fellowship, the folks in our church. Your heart is for people. Would I be right? Your heart is for people. Have you ever cried out and said, God, help me? God, help me help people. Yeah, that's something that's in your heart. That's something you want. Well, man, the more we will go ahead and do what I'm talking about here today, the more we will find ourselves doing that. The more will we find the blessings of God in people's lives. You know, and so, hallelujah, I want to bear fruit. I want to produce fruit. I don't pray prayers just for my own selfish desires. Amen, I don't. I don't. I can honestly tell you the bulk of my prayers do not come from selfish desires. Pray because I want God to be glorified. I want his will to be done here in this earth, and I want what's best for people. And he knows. Amen. Somebody say, Joel, hurry up, or you're never going to get to the end. Oh, hallelujah. I'll get to the end the day I kick the bucket. That's the day I'll get there. All right, we're still in John chapter 15, 7 and 8. Just turn over and look at verse 16 with me. Same chapter, verse 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. He chose you. Glory to God. He chose you. He chose you. Turn and look at somebody and say, he chose you. He chose you. He chose me. I don't know that I would have chosen me. How many of you would have chosen you? You know, there were a lot of people not choosing me. How many of you can say there was a lot of folks not choosing you? There were just not a lot of people choosing me. I mean, Jenny and I just, when you put your hand up and said amen, I think about you and Chuck getting married. Did you know there were people betting on when they'd get divorced? 6 months, betting on it. They weren't choosing them to be successful. How long you been married? 45 years last March. Woo! And you still like him. Praise God. You chose each other and it worked out. Hallelujah. Well, God chose you. He chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You've been appointed. To do what? That you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Amen. That's what we're talking about here today. I like something. How many of you know you're in this? Because if you know these scriptures are talking to you, and I don't have to go to other scripture and prove it, I can move on and keep going. How many of you know you're chosen by God? He chose you. He chose you. You can go over if you want to. I'm not going to do it, but you can go over to John chapter 17, 17. Jesus is a pray and a prayer. The whole book or the whole chapter of John 17 is Jesus praying a prayer. And in that prayer, he's praying. It looks like he's praying for the 12. But then he says this, I don't pray for these alone, but for all of those who hear, who believe in me because of God's word. You know what? He was praying for us. And if you look at that, he was sending the 12 out. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He chose you. Turn and look at somebody and say, he chose you. He chose me. And he appointed us to go bear fruit. Do you think we can bear fruit? Hallelujah. All right. That was the introduction. Uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. Wait, what are the plans for Father's Day today? I know ribs are in my future. Woohoo! When we were talking about this, you can flip in your Bibles back to Mark chapter 4, if you would, please. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're talking about, and We can read them again really fast, verses 14 down through 20. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the seed. And like we've been talking about, in that seed is the kingdom of heaven. In that seed is the kingdom of God. Remember verse 30? To what shall we liken the kingdom of heaven? Or what parable shall we picture? It's like a mustard seed. Just jump up and read verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. God's word getting sown into our heart. That's the seed we're talking about, and that's the seed of the kingdom. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately, and it takes away the word that was sown in the heart. These likewise are ones sown on good ground, who, when they hear it, hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so only endure for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arrives for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It's interesting, the last part. And it becomes unfruitful. I'm getting ahead of myself again. What becomes unfruitful? What becomes unfruitful? And it becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. It got sown. It got sown. But it becomes unfruitful. Did you know there are things that can cause God's word to be unfruitful in our lives? Wow, that's a thought worth thinking about. There are things that can cause God's word to become unfruitful in our lives. Now, last week, one of the points that we made was this, in planting a garden. And I like to ask this question, throw this out there again. You've gone out into the backyard of a house you've never lived in before, and there's never been a garden there. What's the first thing you do? Over the years, I've had a lot of people say to me, well, you till the ground. You prepare the ground. You get the ground ready. And then I go, no, that's not the first thing you do. The first thing you do is you pick the garden spot. You establish the garden spot. Then you till the ground. Then you take all the weeds out. Then you plant some seed. And then you start watering it. But you know, there's something else that we need to do. This is my point number two. You got to guard that garden spot. You got to guard the garden spot. And as a dad, that's part of it. I needed to guard the Word of God in my life. I needed to guard the Word of God for my family. I needed to guard my family. Amen? Folks, how many, has anybody in here ever planted a garden and then, okay, let's do this. How many of you planted a garden? And just picture with me right now a garden in your mind, okay? Start thinking about a garden. The garden you'd like to plant. Maybe it's a garden you have planted. Maybe it's a someday dream garden. I want to ask you a question. Does your garden have a fence around it? How many of you have a garden with a fence around it? Why? Rabbits? But dang, them rabbits, they're so cute. Cute little soft bunnies. They're so cute. Will cute things ever try to enter our life? And they got a purpose, and that ain't to help the garden grow. Yeah. We guard. We put a fence around our garden to guard it. How about this? That fence works on a lot of things, but there's some things that fence doesn't work on. I remember a garden we had in Rushville, Nebraska. I don't plant gardens in Custer, South Dakota. Other people do. I choose not to. I'm just the hail. You know, it's just like it's going to happen, the cold, the frost, the snow. Yes. Hey, there's people. There's people that can do it. You're good at it. I'm not, there's that old line from the man from Snowy River, and it's a great line, and the line was, don't throw effort after foolishness. So that's my motto. That's for me. That's not for you, okay? Where was I? But down in Rushville, we planted a garden. And we did. We established the garden spot. I got to thinking about this. Want to throw it out there. You ever see those t-shirts where it says established 1987, 19, and it's some business? I want to get a t-shirt and it says established 1983. Been producing fruit of the kingdom of heaven until today and into the future. Because it was in 1983 that I got established, that I became a garden spot. What year did you become a garden spot? What year did you get born again? And God start planting his word and wanting his word to get planted in your heart. And I'm going to keep on producing fruit. I got so blessed this weekend. All five of my four nieces and a nephew on my sister Yudviga's side. And I got to hear two or three times from them. And then from Rachel, Austin's wife. That's what they said. So glad you came to Custer. So glad you moved back to Custer. It was one of the things that happened when we moved back to Custer was the church was just getting started. We were still out south of town in our home. And my sister Viga, who was going through a divorce, showed up with her five children. And she got born again. I remember the day that she came forward and I got to pray with her and introduce her to Jesus. She was squeezing my hand so tight. So tight. Tightest I've ever had anybody squeeze my hand when I was praying for him. And I knew exactly what she was saying when I was praying for her. She was saying, Joel, this has got to work. Because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't. And you know what? It worked. It worked. Her five children to date love the Lord. They're walking with him. They're finding mates that love him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm just going to keep producing fruit. How about you? And I'm going to guard the garden spot. But down in Rushville, another word for guard could be 10, but down in Rushville, we had a fence. I think we had a fence, didn't we? Maybe we didn't. I don't remember. But guess what we had around our yard on three sides? Weed fields. Guess what kept blowing into our garden? Weed seeds. Amen? Guess what we had to do? We had to weed. You got to guard. You got to tend the garden spot. You know, I just want to throw this thought out there. What's trying to get into your garden spot? See, because it's going to be different for different people. There's some things that will run across the board, and there's some things in certain times of life that will try to get into our garden. What is it that's trying to get into your garden? There's stuff. And it's kind of interesting. Our garden down there, three weed fields on three sides, the weed fields on three sides, constantly blowing in. And our life as Christians, do we have any weed fields around us? How many of you know the TV can be a weed? I tell you what, that'll throw all kinds of weed seeds. You got to guard it. You got to guard your heart. How about radio? How about politics? There's a whole bunch of weed fields around us. And you know what? In here I find it says they enter in. It would be foolish of us to think that they don't enter in. And I can remember going out into that garden spot and pulling weeds. Vaughn, did you ever have to do that? You never? You were two? Was he? So Caleb, was it you that had to pull the weed seeds? Caleb and Heather had to do it. What I found out about those weeds, when they get to growing, when they're about this tall, yeah, they got thorns on them. But when they're this tall, when they're little bitty, yeah, you can pull them right out. They don't poke you. It's a lot easier to deal with them. But let them get this big. Yeah, let them get this big. You know what happens to those thorns on them weeds? They'll hurt. Guess what else goes on that you can't see? The roots get a lot deeper. We need to guard Dads, we need to guard. Fathers, do not let the world tell you that you don't matter. Don't you let the world lie to you like that. You matter. You make a difference. And I asked my mom this. I never got to ask my dad this, but I asked my mom, Mom, will I always be your child? I had a reason for asking it. Didn't matter how old I get to, guess what? I'm always her child. My children, no matter what age they are, they're always my children. And as their dad, trusting God, I always get to have a place in their life. I always get to pray with them. I always get to pray for them. Get to be there. In our house, we have a little rule with our children all being older now. I don't give them my opinion on everything. I just don't do it. And we let them know when they turned 18, when they get in there, I'll talk to you on two occasions for two reasons. There's two things that'll motivate me to talk to you. One, you ask. Two, God tells me to. Other than that, how many of you know they don't need my opinion all the time? Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you guys don't need my opinion all the time. They're going, thank God, Dad. Thank you, thank you. Not that it's a bad opinion, but it might not be right for them. Where they might be in life is different. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to continually guard. We got to stay in there. We got to watch out for these things. Amen. Because what happens here, this is just amazing. I'm going to bounce back and I'm going to look at this. Verse 19. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things enter in and do what? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Can you imagine the word of God being unfruitful in your life? But it can happen. It can happen. It happens to a lot of people. I might come to an end here. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. How many dads do we have here this morning? One, two. Raise your hand if you're a dad, please. I'm counting. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay. Amen. We got stuff for you when you leave here, and help yourself. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We're talking about the word here. Keep it in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I want to just read words in verse 23 that were used where it says keep in the New King James. Verse 23 again, keep your heart with all diligence. Here's what some other translations say, guard. Guard your heart with all diligence. Watch over. Watch over. Just picture that garden spot. What do you got to do? You got to watch over it. You got to keep the cute little bunnies out. You got to keep the deer out. When the weeds start popping up, you got to pull the weeds. You got to deal with it. It's not necessarily fun, but it's got to be done. Amen. Keep and guard. Carefully guard. Be careful how you think. I like that one. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. We can't just go thinking any old way. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. How about that verse of scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And as Keith Moore put it one time, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh. Sometimes we all have stuff leak out. Oops, I didn't mean to say that, but there it is. I tell you what, when the pressure comes on, that's lots of times when our heart, our mouth will leak stuff out. When we start hitting tough times, it'll just, oh man. So keep your heart, guard your heart. Above all else, above every charge, keep your heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. I'll read that one again. Above every charge, keep your heart, for out of it, So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to do something today if we could. And I don't, if you're dad and you're in this place, I'd like to lay hands on you and pray for you. I'd like to lay hands on you and pray for you, if that would be all right. If you would like that. Diana, if the worship team would come on up. And as we're making this transition and as we're doing this, I know God's got some things to deposit. I know God wants to stir some things up. I know God wants to give some things to some people today. And I'd just like to pray for dads specifically this morning. But I want to share this with you. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? See, this is my most important question today. Do you know Jesus? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? This is the most important question you'll hear in your lifetime. And I'm gonna guess, but I don't want to assume, that can be dangerous, that you're here today and you have said yes to Jesus. But I'm not going to assume that. You're here today, and if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'd invite you to come up and to be a part of the getting prayed for. Amen? And you can meet Jesus. You can get to know him. We'd love to introduce you. Amen? But then just want to pray for the dads, if we could. So all of the dads, and if you're a dad in this place and you don't want to come up here for prayer, you don't have to. I'm not going to make anybody. But Brian, will you come on up here and pray with me? Amen. Roland, would you come on up also and pray with me? Hallelujah. Brian, I just want us to pray for people. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. We just want to pray for you guys. I just want to pray. I believe God's going to make deposits. He's going to stir up some things in there. So, And then we'll just let this be the end of the service this morning. This is how we'll end it. But something that's going to happen is you walk out today, there's two platters of boxes, big things of candy. And we had 10 dads, and I got about 45 of them out there. So you may take more than one. You may slip through there. You could take three if you wanted to. If you have children, you could even share with them. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And there's a variety of things. But I would just like to pray for the dads. So all of the dads that are here, just want to pray for you today. And I personally want to lay hands on you. Roland and Brian are going to pray with me also. And then this, if there's something else that you have need of in your life, you know, there's just, you want prayer for something else. You're looking for direction. You're looking for health in your body. We pray for you for that too. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna say a closing prayer, and then with that I'd like the dads to come on up, and the service is kind of like officially over, but church never ends. Amen. How many of you know church never ends? So I don't know how to end it. That's why I have so much trouble ending church, because it never ends. We just keep right on going. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sherry, did you have something? Oh, thank you. Great idea. And for those of you who are visiting, we have caramel rolls and cinnamon rolls every Sunday. There's two ladies. That's part of what they love to do. You are more than welcome to slip on downstairs, have some more fellowship and caramel cinnamon roll and coffee, and just be with us a little bit longer. Amen. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time together. I thank you that you have things for us, God. It's not a time to hold back. It's not a time to, you know, stand in the shadows. It's not a time to withdraw, but it's a time to step up. It's a time to step into the things of you. It's a time to be going for it, to get after it, and to not let the cares of the world, this deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things enter in and choke the word. And it's not a time to let the tribulations and the persecutions that arise stop us. from going forward and doing what you've called us to do. It is a time when we're to be producing fruit. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And dads, if you'd come on up, we'd just love to pray for you. Love to lay hands on you and pray for you. Amen. And like I said, you can if you want to, you don't have to. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. That's good. Just, yep, you guys, if you'd just line up right across here. No, Al, turn the other way. Turn the other way, buddy. Just get in line. We're just going to pray for people. And go ahead, Brian, and you can start right there with Mark, and we're going to move down the line. Hallelujah.